Insulate your home and start saving on energy costs with Owens Corning Foam Mueller Insulation. These panels are moisture resistant and rugged enough to be used above and below ground. Plus, these pink panels are available in many different sizes and thicknesses to fit any project. Save big on Owens Corning Foam Mueller Insulation. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Welcome back to the one and only Cavs the Podcast, featuring commentary from all of your favorite Cavs the Blog bloggers. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Welcome to Cavs of Podcasts. I'm here with Eli Kim and Chris Francis. My name is Nate Smith, and the Cavs didn't win this one tonight. Big game tonight against the number two team in the East right now, the Boston Celtics, and the Cavs ended up losing 112-105. The curse of Shaq came back to bite him as he predicted a double-digit win, and the Cavs, I don't think they played as well as they could have tonight. Any disagreement, Eli or Chris?
No, I definitely think they didn't play very well. And obviously some of that was shooting, which is bad luck. But I also just felt like they didn't really try hard, which is kind of weird to say. Typically, they get up for these kind of big games. But I didn't kind of feel that energy after they, you know, took a 15-point deficit after the first quarter.
Yeah, Chris, I know you in the live thread said they came out too tight. I kind of felt that the whole game. Did you?
Oh, absolutely. I think they were hyped up. Boston was hyped up. I mean, the game was like at 6 or 7 minutes in. Like, you could tell this was playoff ball, right? Happening tonight. Guys, you know, you could tell it meant more.
Yeah.
You know? It just, you know, it had all of the, you know, gravitas or the hype or the tension that you want, you know, in a mid-season, regular season game. You know what I mean? This is as much as a game could possibly mean for the Cavs in a regular season, is going against pretty much your main competitor to get to the finals.
It was playoff basketball until Georges Niang checked in, and it's no longer playoff basketball. I mean,
got him.
He's unplayable against good teams. He floats on offense. If he ain't shooting wide open threes, there's not a lot he gives you. Defense. I mean,
the whole bench stunk outside of Merrill.
Oh, absolutely. So Merrill was amazing tonight.
Karis was a disaster. George was a disaster. Ty was a disaster. They all were. They all crapped the bed. Just amazingly. It's crazy, you know?
No, I'm with you. And Sam Merrill was phenomenal tonight.
Yeah, he looked like the only two guys ready to play tonight.
Oh my God, that one where he fell down, got hurt, somehow ended up with this causing a steal, then ran back down to the other one and like shot a three before limping to the bench. That to me was like the grittiest play of the game, right? Like it was impressive. And to me, the problem is, like, the starters are holding serve. The Cavs bench got out-rebounded 21-11, and to me, that's the ball game. Like, the Cavs have no rebounding on their bench.
And also, Celtics were committed to exploiting that weakness with double bigs a lot tonight. They played a lot of Luke Cornette. They played a lot of Luke Cornette plus Al Horford. Like, Al Horford played 27 minutes. Luke Cornette played 12 minutes. Kristaps Porzingis played 35 minutes. Or 35 minutes, I'm sorry.
yeah.
So, you know, they were going double big a lot and reaping the rewards of it. I mean, Luke Kornet, Al Horford, 6 offensive rebounds. Al Horford, 10 rebounds total off the bench, plus 19 on the night in 27 minutes. So it was, yeah, that's the story right there. You know, is our bigs got dominated. We got out physical. I don't think
Jared Allen got dominated. I think Evan Mobley got dominated. Jared Allen, did you see his box score?
Actually, he rebounded nicely because he had a disastrous start to the game.
Yeah, but
it was Mobley.
He had 17 and 18, led the team in plus minus. It was Mobley. And it was not even having a big on the bench.
They were 3 for 17 to start the game. So they both were crappy, but at least Jared Allen decided to show up for the second half. So
Jared Allen, I thought, played fine from like the third quarter on. Like, the Cavs got off to a horrendous start. They were in a 20-point hole in the first.
Yeah, tried to climb out, and they did, you know, but just couldn't close the deal. So
But that's the problem. If you start out in a 20-point hole, you're, you know, in a 20-point hole.
My point is, the reason why that all happened is because at the end of the day, because the game started out so physical, so defensive-minded, so half-court, we are not suited to ultimately win that way because we're not that physical of a team.
Right. The problem is that is playoff basketball, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And there was only the only guys that brought that physicality tonight were Donovan Mitchell, Jared Allen, Sam Merrill, and to a limited extent, Max Strus, but I thought he committed a lot of dumb fouls.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah, I think that's an accurate assessment of the night. Exactly. You know, as far as what went down, you know, there was basically those three guys were able to withstand the physicality of the game, and a lot of the other guys could not.
Yeah. And I don't know who said it in the live thread, but Niang, in a switching scheme, the problem with Niang is he's always going to be the weak link because he's always catching up. And you saw it night after night. They would swing the ball. And who's the closeout guy? Niang. You knew that the guy he was closing out on was going to score or get an open shot. And the Celtics just don't have any.
Too. You see Niang on you, you're not going to be worried at all.
Well, and it's psychological for the team. I thought the team had a big letdown when he came in the first half. I mean,
it's hard to argue because they ended up down 20. So
yeah, and LeVert was probably one of LeVert's worst games of the year. He was not good on either side of the ball. I cut him a little bit of slack because he's probably the most likely to be traded on this team, and it's got to be in his head a little bit. But you know, you're a professional, you play. I thought they could have played better. They need another big. I don't see how you get past Boston in the playoffs without one. Eli, what do you got? Anything else to say about this game?
No, I think I'm ready to move on. you know, it's funny. A lot of people on podcasts I was listening today, like the NBA Ringer, and the Mismatch podcast, they both picked the Cavs to win tonight and lose tomorrow to the Pistons. So I'm just eagerly ready to beat JB Bickerstaff's ass tomorrow night.
Yeah, and
that's right.
Yeah,
talk that shit, Eli. What's good?
And the Pistons got Trae Younged the last game. I saw it on the replay at dinner before the Cavs game kicked off tonight. So they're probably, and it's actually in Detroit. I actually almost went over for that game, but I didn't. It should be interesting. I just want to touch on a couple more things. One of the things, you know, as you noted, let's just talk about the Celtics' best player tonight was Derek White. Like, he was phenomenal. 7 of 14 from the floor, 6 of 12 from 3, 20 points, 5 rebounds, 2 steals and a block. Like, yeah, he was minus 11, but he had so many big plays that game. And Jason Tatum had a nice game. And then, as you noted, Al Horford on the bench and Peyton Pritchard and Luke Kornet all had really, and Sam Hauser all had nice games off the bench. And we're used to the Cavs winning the bench battles, but I think we're used to the Cavs winning the bench battles against bad teams, and I'm not sure the Cavs bench is good enough to keep up with the Celtics. The other thing I wanted to cover is I didn't understand the Cavs defensive scheme. I felt like they were switching at every single opportunity and giving Boston the switches they wanted, like every play. And I didn't feel like there was a lot of like, how many times did you see Darius Garland as the guy they were going after? Right. I just felt like they gave up on and switched too much. I don't know. Any thoughts on that, Chris?
No, I mean, Garland actually rebounded nicely in the game too, along with Jared Allen. Probably the reason why we came back was Garland getting right. So, well, I'm not sure why we're picking on.
I'm not picking on him at all.
He's plus six. So
no, I'm not picking on him. I just thought. Steals. So, I just thought the Cavs' defense was really switched.
Tatum tried to back him down in the clutch and couldn't do it. So I don't think that's the problem at all. The problem is that Evan Mobley dropped a big fat deuce on the court.
Yeah.
And so did our bench.
Yeah, he was not good tonight. Yeah, Evan Mobley, possibly worst game of the
year. How's that?
You know, 3 of 14, no confidence in his jumper, zero stocks. Like, he was very passive, very tentative. I don't know what was going on there. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think more than anything, what it was he wasn't focused on the defensive end.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
He cared too much about, you know, initiating offense or creating offense or getting his offensive game going and improving himself that way in a big game that he lost focus on what really mattered always, especially in a playoff setting, is defense.
Yep. Exactly. And yeah, he got outplayed, plain and simple. Like,
yeah, he'll learn.
Yeah, he will, and hopefully it's a learning opportunity. Actually, you know, as I noted a few minutes ago, I thought Jared Allen after the first quarter was really good. I know Eli felt like the Cavs were a little too ball dominant. Mitchell with 5 turnovers tonight, Garland with 3, definitely a lot of one action and shoot possessions for the Cavs. And when the ball moved and when it worked through the bigs, I felt like their offense was better. But Eli, do you just want to talk about the offensive discipline a little bit, or are you just ready to move on?
No, I mean, I think the Cavs' offensive discipline was actually really bad tonight too. In some ways, it was probably more disappointing than their defensive lapses tonight, because this Cavs team this year is
defense
all
was
about,
all right, besides the rebounding.
Yeah, I mean, this year the Cavs team is all about the offense, right? And I just felt like at the wrong times, Mitchell would try to take over. And obviously in the third quarter when Tatum was really hot, it kind of felt like whatever was working just went completely out the window and they just went back to hero ball. I just thought that when shots weren't falling, they should have started cutting and started doing a little bit more of that, but they kind of just revert to give Donovan or Darius the ball and try to make them, you know, get out of the funk. And I just think against good teams, you can't do that. It lulls you in a trap. It does work against bad teams at times, but I think against these better opponents, the Cavs got to learn to trust kind of what got them there and instead of reverting to the hero ball.
I think those are really good points. We did see a lot of hero ball. I did want to see the ball move more. I thought that was actually part of Mobley's problem, was he didn't get enough touches early, but there was a lot, and there was just a lack of discipline. One of the possessions that really ticked me off was the end of the, I can't remember, it was first half, where they screwed up the shot clock because they went with, instead of like taking a shot with about, you know, 8 or 9 seconds left on the clock, they went with like 15 or 16 seconds left on the clock, and Garland set up Merrill for a 3. He missed. And then Celtics got the rebound. They had plenty of time to set up a play. They got Brown isolated.
Well, the whole reason why that happened was because Derek White was flopping in the back and it was a 5-on-4. The problem is they didn't execute a freaking 5-on-4.
Well, that I'm not arguing with you, but I also,
so it's fine. The shot's fine. Everything's fine. It's like they just didn't get a good shot on a 5-on-4.
Fair. Well, and that was the play of the game late, where the Cavs had cut it to 5 miraculously when Darius Garland got a 4-point play on a Peyton Pritchard foul while he was shooting 3. Then Mitchell got the ball in kind of a loose ball scramble situation coming down the court. He had 2 guys on the left side and then Garland wide open on the right side of the 3-point line. And he just ignored him or just didn't see him and went to Strus. Nobody saw Garland. He was wide open and Garland was jumping up and down calling for the ball and just never got there. It was just like that kind of lack of execution. And then, you know, at the end of the first half, when Brown got Garland down with 5 seconds left at the free throw line, it's like the double's got to come. Somebody else has got to beat you there. Like with 5 seconds left, you got to make him pass the ball. And they didn't do that. And that he scored a 2 over Garland. And it's just one of many possessions that gave away, which was frustrating, but it's basketball. And with that, we'll be right back.
Insulate your home and start saving on energy costs with Owens Corning Foam Muller Insulation. These panels are moisture resistant and rugged enough to be used above and below ground. Plus, these pink panels are available in many different sizes and thicknesses to fit any project. Save big on Owens Corning Foam Muller Insulation. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Welcome back to Cavs the Podcast. I'm Nate Smith. I'm here with Eli Kim, Chris Francis, and we're going to put that Boston game to bed, just burn the tape, and we're going to get into slop season. NBA trade deadline is Thursday at 5, I believe, and so we have a little less than 40 hours for the NBA trade deadline. Eli, I'm going to throw it to you. What do you think the Cavs need at the trade deadline? And in your ideal world, you know, realistically, what would they do? And what do you think they'll actually do?
Yeah, so I think they need, the number one need is a player who's big enough to play the 4 a decent amount so that George Niang never has to play. So he has to be decent. And honestly, ideally, he can shoot threes and play defense, but at this point, if he could just do one of those and move better than Niang, that's kind of like my prerequisite. I think players that kind of fit that are tough because a lot of teams want that archetype as well. And then I just think that the Cavs ultimately want to make a move for that kind of player, but it's tough. So I think at the end they're just going to sign a minimum guy, maybe in the buyout market or something like that.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, and I think one sneaky player that has been a free agent this whole year is Robert Covington. That's just the name I'll throw out there.
Roko. Yeah, he just gave an interview in Hoops Hype, so. He says he's ready to go. He's waiting for the phone to ring. So,
and the other reason I say that is him and Darius Garland have a prior relationship. They're pretty tight.
So. Oh, nice. And then the other thing I would say in terms of the Cavs is Mo Bamba is now a free agent, and he is that guy who can rebound and shoot threes. And as Chris notes, be as soft as Charmin. So. One thing I want to go over with you, Eli, real quick before I throw it to Chris, is the Cavs cap situation. They are about how far over the luxury tax? Is it about $2 million?
That's what I'm giving you understand.
Yeah, they're about $2 million and change, and then
they're $4 million under the apron. Yeah,
under the tax apron. And then, but also over the tax, but under the first apron, right? They're about $4 million under the first apron.
Correct.
I think
$4 million under the apron. Yeah.
So it's a it's a bit of a weird situation where they either want to go under, or if they decide they're going to be taxpayers this year, they got a little bit of room to squeeze in under that first tax apron. Because once you start getting those higher tax aprons, it becomes much more difficult to operate from a trade and cap management and roster management standpoint. So with that, throwing it to you, Chris, what do the Cavs need? What would you do? And what do you think they'll do?
Unironically, they need the Junkyard Dog chain back.
That is not what they need. You
they
can't
need to bring back. They need to bring back the OG Lamar Stevens.
I knew bring you were back. Gonna throw out.
He's
Lamar
coming
Stevens.
Home. He's coming home. Lamar Stevens, can you feel it?
The Ira Knubel of the 2020s.
Let's go. Eli, tell me you're not excited by that.
I'd rather have Roka.
Okay, that was a good one, though. I'd rather have... I'm at the point where I'm like, okay, let's do it. Fuck it.
I'd rather have Mo Bamba.
No. Come on, man.
Mo Bamba.
Oh my God. He also has a great song that everyone can play.
Mm. Right. And that is the key, is great walk-up music, right?
Exactly.
Nate, you're just sending up the bat signal for EG to come teach you a lesson.
About stiff bigs?
Yes.
The long-lost other bull brother is going to come and be on the podcast. Okay, so what do you give me a realistic scenario of what the Cavs are gonna do, and what do they need? What do they need, Chris?
I mean, they need size and physicality and athleticism. That's what gets exposed time and time again. New York, Houston, tonight, whatever, you know, Philadelphia. Typically, the teams that have had our number recently, or at least in the Evan Mobley era. It's always size, physicality, athleticism. That's where we're getting killed. We need some guys that can rebound, defend, and run like the wind and jump like the wind. You know, like, God, I mean, like an Amen Thompson. How about him? You know?
Well, instead I don't think Coro, that's happening.
You know? No, I'm just saying, though, like, it's like a guy like that. He doesn't even have to, it's not even necessarily about shooting or, you know, anything else at this point. You know, the offense is good. It's about finding more size and athleticism and physicality, guys that are willing to scrap and fight and push, you know, because like, break it down, like, give me your top, who are the most physical players on the Cavs right now? Who plays the most physical style of basketball on the Cavs right now?
You want to know the insane thing? To me, defensively, it's Sam Merrill.
Tonight it was, for sure.
Yeah. Like, he is always engaged. He is always putting his body on the line.
I agree. No, I mean, that's why, you know, that's why the stats bear it out that he's a good defender, is because he's simply just physical. He's willing to put his body on the line.
Well, that, and he positions himself well every time. Like, he's very disciplined defensively. He doesn't take bad angles. He's
right.
Not.
No, he moves his, yeah. He's classy. I mean, he's got just.
He gets his hand in the passing lane. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a fundamentals guy, and he's 6'4" with a little bit of strength. So, yeah. And they hide him, you know, they're able to hide him on matchups too.
Well, and he's not, yeah, like, he's almost 30 years old. Like, he's a man.
He's, he has that not, old man strength, you know.
Yeah, old man strength.
Yeah. Yeah. Is he a dad? I don't know. Maybe we
I'm sure he is. He's a 29-year-old Mormon. I'm sure he's a dad. Yeah.
Yeah, so who are the most physical players on the team? You guys tell me.
TT, I would put 100%. Jared Allen after that and Donovan Mitchell, and then maybe.
Okay. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I would say you get that. Some physicality from Strus, but I think Strus plays too out of control sometimes, and he gets himself in dumb foul situations like we saw tonight, and he's a little too hot-headed with the refs at times, but...
But that's the edge we need, though.
No, he does. And I thought he played with that edge.
That's what's missing.
Yeah. And he was flying around the court defensively tonight.
Well, a positive sign, if you want to take a positive outside of tonight, before tonight, it was that Strus with the starters, I mean, Strus with the core four was going gangbusters this year. Gangbusters. Like, yeah. Even better than Karras at the three, you know, with the core four. Like, they were going
even
like,
better than 30. Wade?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Okay.
With Wade, they struggle. They struggle. Actually, ironically enough, they struggle to rebound.
It's weird.
Yeah, that is very weird. They struggle to rebound, and they struggle a little bit on offense. So,
yeah, I think Wade is just not there as a shooter yet still.
Right.
So he's not the
– Well, and he can't stay healthy.
He can't – yeah, exactly. He can't stay healthy to be consistent enough and gain that confidence. Absolutely. I agree.
So anybody on your list that you would like to realistically add to this team?
There's no one that. I mean, like, what's realistic with the Luka trade?
I mean, who knows? I think it's going to be. I think
and
the
also,
NBA.
We're hearing rumors of KD tonight.
Yeah, KD. Well, you heard my take. I think KD is going to end up back with the Warriors.
You think it's the Warriors?
I think KD is going to end up back with the Warriors. Jimmy Buckets is going to end up in Phoenix. And then there's going to be like. Some of those guys they trade, like Andrew Wiggins, will probably get passed through three other teams before he ends up in Washington or something.
Miami.
You think Andrew Wiggins is going to end up in Miami?
Sure, why not?
Well, because
sounds
I don't think...
Sounds like a Miami move right now, right?
I don't think they want his contract. He's still got two more years after this one at like $28 million, so...
Yeah, Miami wants to clear as much space for 26 to find someone.
What's going
go
on in 26?
That. Luka, and I think there's just a better, it's just a better free agent class.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's guys out there. Yeah. So it sounds like you don't want to name names.
Well, no, I mean, like, who's that? Who's out? I mean, like, to me, the best idea I've heard, bar none, by far, the ideal candidate, you know, is someone that Eli mentioned, you know, is Naz Reid.
Oh, yeah, no, I think he'd be a great candidate. I think another guy out there, Robert Williams.
The crazier question is, what about Julius Randle?
Would you really want Julius Randle? He doesn't make sense to me. As a like, the way this offense plays, he's kind of a plodding offensive player. And he's not a great defender. He can rebound. He carves up space. But... I mean, I'm sure the Cavs could get him if they wanted him, but
I'm sure the Timberwolves would love to get rid of him.
Yeah, the other problem is the Timberwolves are really difficult to trade with because they cannot aggregate salaries in outgoing trades.
But I mean, isn't Julius making quite enough to like not have to aggregate shit?
Fair, but it's still difficult because.
But you'd want. To aggregate to get someone else too with Randle, you would
with roster spots. Is it roster spots?
It is roster spots. Exactly. Like the Cavs would basically have to bundle like three players to get one. And then they have two holes to fill, right? Because they're at the minimum number of contracts now.
Saying that they can't bundle salaries, meaning like, but they can still trade multiple players in that deal though. They just can't bundle the salaries.
No, it's weird. Outgoing Minnesota cannot aggregate salaries in the same trade. They cannot trade Randle and another guy for two other guys from the Cavs. They can receive two other guys as long as their total cap number goes down. But there's a lot of difficulties in trading with a team that's over the second apron, which the Timberwolves are. And I think we'll get to some of the crazy things that are going on in the NBA in the next segment, but my ideal players, I think Eli threw out a name, or there's a rumor of DeAndre Hunter that we were talking about over text, and I really don't like his contract, but... He's kind of like, I was looking at his numbers. He's kind of a poor man's to Cam Johnson. Like, even though he has a higher salary than Cam Johnson, he's a little bit better defender. He's not quite as good of a shooter, but he is a... He
probably makes him cheaper and more gettable asset-wise.
But he also shoots 60% true shooting, and he's at 38% on the year on almost 10 attempts for 75 possessions. So he is a prolific shooter, shoots off movement, has some size, can defend. He came out as a kind of with a defensive reputation, and he hasn't really been a great defender. He's been okay. But he's found his niche as a movement shooter, and he certainly would fit well offensively, I feel like. But he's an okay rebounder, and he's an okay defender. I'm not sure he's what they need from a defensive standpoint, but he's certainly better at both things than Georges Niang. So take that for what you will.
My one thing with Hunter, actually, is that he does get hurt a lot, too.
Yeah.
So I think having Dean Wade and this guy would probably not make sense. So in my scenario, if we do trade for the Cavs trade for Hunter, I'm assuming that Wade would probably have to go out.
I think that's
which
fair.
Is an awful that's like an awful move then, because like Wade is the only other rebounder besides Tower City on this freaking roster.
Yeah, I don't think you could do that move unless you're getting another big somehow.
Exactly. Larry Nance, maybe.
Oh, well, that would...
Larry, what about Nance and Capella? Let's broaden
well,
that.
Well, Capella...
Here.
I mean, I certainly think the Cavs could look at Capella. I think Capella is actually going to be in demand a little bit because he's a $20 million expiring contract, and a lot of teams want to get salaries off their books. I think if Eli threw out a crazy trade today that maybe Gobert ends up in with the Lakers, and if Gobert ended up with the Lakers, I could totally see Capella ending up in Minnesota, like to hold down that starting center spot.
No, I think that was me. I thought that would be fun.
Oh, was that you?
Yeah,
I could see it happening though.
What if Gobert ended up in at the Lakers?
I love that you call him Gobert.
Yeah, Gobert.
I can see it happening. I'm not sure the salaries work because he has a really stupid contract. But yeah, as for me, I would love to see them move on from Niang. I think Wade is or not Wade. Caris LeVert's contract is actually a chip. Rather than get under the tax, I'd like to see him cozy up to the first apron and improve their third big, you know, somebody can play the 3, 4, or 5 in small ball lineups. And then that's what I'd like to see. A guy like Chris Boucher, a guy like Jonas Valanciunas, a guy like Yusuf Nurkic. But I don't think you'll see that. I think they'll get a body to hold down that third big spot. And we'll continue to see Georges Niang's eat innings, and maybe the Cavs will add one guy off the buyout or the waiver wire, and that'll be the extent of their moves. But
free Jalen Tyson.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Well, you want to talk about that? Like, why didn't Jalen Tyson play today? He couldn't have been worse than Georges
Niang.
Who
freaking knows? Someone asked KA if we had a working media.
We don't. So anyway, when we get back, we'll get into some of the madness around the NBA trade deadline and give some predictions on who do you think ends up where. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Cavs Podcast. Chris Francis is here with me. Elijah Kim is here with me. I'm Nate Smith. And this hurts me to do, but... Little slop season, little digging through the trough.
Oh no, are you sick, brother?
No, that was my hog call. We're in a little trade slop here, so let's get to it. Instant reaction to the Luka Doncic trade. Give me your 15-second take, Eli.
I think the Mavs are stupid. Nico Harrison probably has a short, like, he's probably only there for a year and a half after they realize that they're not going to get very far because they're trading for the most unavailable superstar ever in Anthony Davis. And I just think if you're going to trade a guy like that, you have to have an auction and bidding war. To not have that is just, it's just really bad fundamentals and really bad general managing. So,
what about the follow up trade we saw today? The Quentin Grimes for Caleb Martin.
Teams are just lining up. I hope the Cavs can try to trade for Lively or Gafford right now as we speak.
Yeah, actually, I think Gafford could be available. So, Chris, 15-second reaction to the Luka trade.
As I said in the chat, I expected it, but...
You expected him to get traded?
Well, no, just that that it was plausible, right?
Okay.
You know, Lakers get stars, you know, and Luka and LeBron are friends. And, yeah, so that was that. But the real thing I want to say is fuck the Adelsons. They're degenerates. They're a plague on society. If we had a functional government, they'd be in prison right now.
And that is the owners of the Mavs now that Mark Cuban has no control over basketball operations. And I don't know if you saw any of Mark Cuban's reactions, but they were like what WTF was basically the summation of them. I liken this in our text chain to if you ever watch the show The League, people were always lining up to Andre and trying to trick him into bad trades or emotionally manipulate him or whatever. And this is 100% what is happening. I don't think it was Nico Harrison. I actually think it was the Mavs owner or whoever's in charge of basketball operations for them, Dorsey. I can't remember his name. Miriam Adelson's kid.
That would have been DuPont.
DuPont, yeah. Anyway, they're getting trade raped. Like, I honestly think Nico Harrison is getting a commission from Nike for getting Luka out of Dallas and over to LA with LeBron, because they're both Nike guys. Both Pelinka and Nico Harrison were Nike guys. I think this is 100% a Nike move, and the league should be
also co-signed by Silver. Let's be honest. Come on.
Well, you and I didn't say different things. Like, these aren't things that are at odds, right?
Oh no, that is why it happened. As a matter of fact, it was the confluence of factors that were agreeing with each other.
Yeah, exactly. But it is very, as Eli said, it was malpractice. And then today, the one that just boggled my mind is Caleb Martin, 29 years old, has got another 3 years on his deal at like $9 million per, and they traded for Quentin Grimes, who is, by almost every metric, a better player and 5 years younger. Yes, he's shorter. Yes, he's going to be a restricted free agent, but he's not going to make a crazy salary in this market. And Dallas gave away a pick. Like, I got to think that Daryl Morey was like covering the phone and laughing that he actually got this trade pulled off. Like, it's, I can't wait to see what other dumb trades the Mavericks do. So, and I think we're going to see a lot of dumb trades in the next two days. Like, I just think we're going to see some crazy, stupid stuff. I think the Suns are desperate.
The one that qualifies right now is Chris Middleton for Kyle Kuzma. What do y'all think about that?
For who? Who's that a bad trade for?
I'd say the Bucks.
And Middleton's forked, dude. He's done. He's done. They got it. They're trying to get something for him. You think the solution is they need to go get somebody else, or what do you think?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. The solution is to try and get Steph out of Golden State.
Oh, that's not happening. They want to put another star with him and make one more run. They want to absolve the sins of the worst managed two draft picks, Wiseman and, oh gosh, who's the other guy?
Kuminga.
Kuminga. When they could have just flipped those guys and Wiggins for like another star and probably had like another 2-3 year window. And they
Could have had Laurie. Think about having Laurie.
Oh, this my God. Yeah.
They just think of Ainge blowing it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like Ainge is totally mismanaged trying to trade.
Well, he's going to do it in the offseason, I think, is his move.
Is he?
Well, because you can't trade Laurie. Laurie can't be traded. Because he signed that extension.
He got extended after.
Yeah. So he can't be traded until a year after he signed his extension.
But he also hasn't had a great year since the extension, to be honest. So,
well, would you? You're playing for Utah. You're playing to basically not get hurt.
How about we take back Laurie and John Collins?
John Juice Collins? I actually
go, baby.
Would not hate John Collins.
Oh, there was like John Collins has outplayed Laurie this season.
Yeah.
By the way,
I don't hate John Collins to the Cavs. I actually think that move would probably be on par. I actually think that would be a slightly better move for what the Cavs need than DeAndre Hunter.
100%.
And it is a federal law, not that that means anything anymore, that the Cavs must trade with Utah every 3 years. So
that's right. Good point. I'm glad you brought it up. We don't want to be running afoul of the federal law.
Right. Exactly. We'll have the Doge on our ass.
Good.
Anyway. Yeah. So nutty stuff in the NBA. Like, okay, I'm going to throw out some names and you just give me where you think they end up. Eli, I'm going to start with you. Jimmy Butler.
I think he's going to end up on the Suns.
Yeah. I agree with you, but I think it's not going to be for Bradley Beal. I think Kevin Durant's going to end up going somewhere instead.
Yeah, so you're thinking a three-teamer with Durant to the Warriors, right?
Yeah, or I could see Durant going back to Miami. That actually is, I think, a move Pat Riley would consider. I don't know. Chris, where do you think Jimmy Buckets ends up?
Mavericks.
Okay. Where do you think that is a move that makes all the sense in the world? They get rid of all their shooting.
Exactly.
And they hire, they trade for JB Bickerstaff. When this
let's go.
Yeah, I think that's crazy. So where do you think KD ends up, Chris?
Milwaukee.
You think, whoa, that's a crazy move. That's interesting. I don't think he ends up in Milwaukee. I think he ends up staying on the Suns, but he's super salty and toxic about it, and nobody knows the difference because that's how he always is. So, okay, let me give you some...
Wait, did Eli say where...
Oh, wait, yeah, Eli, where do you think KD ends up?
I think he ends up on the Warriors.
I do, too.
Wow.
I do, too.
And I think that the Warriors, I think somehow they're going to get rid of Kuminga. Even if it's not a KD trade, I think they will. They'll dump him.
Yeah, because they don't want to pay him, right?
Yep.
And he's not that good.
Yeah, he sucks.
Yeah, I don't think he sucks. I think he's just a guy, right? You know, and in the NBA anymore.
Well, to be honest with you, the thing is, the problem with him is that he wants to be a star. He could be an excellent role player, elite role player. Defensive 3D, 3-and-D, you know, that kind of guy. But he wants to cook. So
he wants to be shy. He wants to be SGA.
Yeah.
And he's not SGA.
No. Can't shoot.
can't shoot, and yeah, and isn't a great slasher. Like, he has a game. His game is 25 years old, right? It's that mid-post game. He watched too many Kobe clips growing up. Okay, what are some other names out there? Nas Reed.
What's on, Eli? I know you know.
I don't have as much slop. I think Nas Reed ends up staying in Minnesota. That's my...
Do you think Minnesota
why
moves?
Why are you breaking my heart, dude?
You think they That's move anybody? I think they got to get off some of that salary.
I think they might get off of Randall somehow.
I could see that. I could see a team taking on Randall. There's a team I could see. I could see Randall going to Milwaukee for Middleton.
I could see Randall going to Texas.
Yeah. Houston or...
No, Dallas.
Dallas. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's another name for you, Chris. Harrison Barnes.
Stinks. Tar hole. Get him out of here.
Staying in San Antonio.
Who cares?
I think he gets moved, but I don't think it's the Cavs. I think his number's just too big.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like,
I also don't know how the Spurs, you know.
Yeah, that was the other trade. We didn't even discuss that.
Oh, yeah.
They should have asked for – they got De'Aaron Fox for nothing, to be honest.
Well, one pick. It was basically that Minnesota 2031 was all they really got from
Yeah.
it.
And the Bulls, like, I don't know what they're thinking, man.
Yeah, no kidding. Bulls cover.
They unprotected the pick that is destined to be protected. Like, it's to get that back. That's what they did. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, for LaVine and... Yeah.
Herder. Red Velvet, baby.
The Spurs just ended up just running game on the entire league with that trade. But the other thing is he basically said, you don't trade me to San Antonio, I'm gonna opt out and sign there anyway, right? Or I'm just going to go there after next season.
Like, there's home ties, there's wife ties or something, yeah, and personal ties. So, like, but they played it right, though, right? You know, like, they did exactly what they were supposed to do.
Yeah.
But it also, I think San Antonio looks at this as a rental and not necessarily a long-term commitment, to be honest.
Oh, I disagree.
Why you think that?
Because they didn't give up any of their really good picks. They could still swing any of those things.
Like, yeah.
I thought Mini 2031 was their best pick in the future, really, besides this next year's Atlanta pick.
Yeah, but they have their own pick this year and Atlanta's pick. They didn't have to give either of those, which I think is crazy.
But you still need a point guard to play with Wemby. Like, those other assets are for a third guy.
No, Fox is a
I think this second guy is going to end up being Stephon Castle anyway, but I think they're trying to see if the fit with Fox works to kind of give him a little purview of the future of Castle, possibly.
Oh, here's a name. If the Spurs were looking to move off some guys, I'd love Jeremy Sochan on the Cavs. I think he'd be a great...
It'd be an upgrade over Okoro for sure.
And Niang.
Yeah, but I think they want to keep him.
I think so too, but...
And I'm actually really cold on Keldon Johnson now. I thought he would be a good fit, but...
Yeah, no, I think he's overpaid now.
He doesn't defend.
And if they could get Devin Vassell, that'd be great, but they can't.
I don't trust his shot either. It still looks goofy.
Who, Vassell or...
Vassell.
Yeah.
The trebuchet?
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
What?
That's exactly what is shooting. The trebuchet.
Yeah. Well, somebody from Boston has that shot. Cornette has that shot. The tree bucket. From the French for tree bucket. Anyway, with that, we'll be right back. So welcome back to Cavs Podcast. Nate Smith, Chris Francis, Eli Kim. I used to play pickup with this dude that had a two-handed trebuchet shot like that. And he would shoot. He looked like Joakim Noah shooting free throws, but like out of the 3-point line. And he would just cock his elbows way back. So that if you put your hand up to block it, like he would just hit his head into your hand and call it a foul every time. And the guy was maddening to play with because he would be like 1 for 15. He would just still be launching them out there. Just drove me up the wall. So that must be what playing with Devin Vassell is like. Anyway, any other crazy? So give me your craziest trade prediction for the next 2 days, Eli.
I think it'll be KD going back to the Warriors and Jimmy Butler going to the Suns somehow. I'm assuming in that case, Bradley Beal goes to the Heat and they'll get some assets. But that's kind of what I think will be the big move of the deadline.
I don't think Bradley Beal goes anywhere. That's my crazy move. So,
how would they do that deal then?
Well, they use KD.
Swap out those numbers. Yeah, use KD's number.
Yeah, and they got other contracts. Well, they can't aggregate, but they can use KD's number.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think you're going to see a crazy big name that you weren't expecting. I think there's an outside chance LeBron gets moved. Or do you think that's not going to happen, Eli?
I don't know. There's some of that LeBron to Golden State smoke, but I just don't think he would agree to that just because of legacy.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that like,
and it's not happening. They're beating the Clippers by 25 at halftime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're ready to go with Luka.
No. And this honestly, if they can get
this
a center,
is absolutely sickening.
Yeah. If they can get a center, they can compete for a championship
this year.
I'm surprised Lakers didn't get a Gafford in that trade too. They should have just
asked for everybody. I don't know why either. Well, it may have been a salary thing, right? Aggregation or no?
No, they are under the apron, amazingly, the Lakers.
Jamie is a broke girl.
Huh?
Jeannie's a broke girl. Call me girl.
I don't know. How much money do you think went to Dallas under the table for that deal?
Oh, did you hear the conspiracy about crypto?
Oh, that
they did it through crypto?
They did it through crypto. Nice. Yeah, that makes sense. That tracks. Yeah, they laundered it through El Salvador.
Bingo.
There's an outside chance that Embiid gets moved. But I don't think anybody wants him. Like, why would you want a guy that's always hurt and is a you know?
It definitely goes to a team that can't get a star.
Yeah.
Right? Miami. He wants to go to Miami. Beal and Embiid makes you something down there if they.
Well, that's true.
They can, you know what I'm saying?
Or Dallas. I could see him in Dallas.
There you go.
Like their new owners just feel like, you know, pardon the term, star fuckers. Like they just want like names and they think they know what
they're
doing.
No, they don't even want names. They're operating on a complete, they're buying an NBA team was like some kind of sideshow for them.
Yeah.
It was a means to an end.
Yeah.
It's not about basketball for them. They're
and that end is called money laundering.
Exactly.
I kid.
Bingo,
I kid.
Bingo. No. Allegedly.
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 I kid. I only kid. No, I think you're going to see.
I wasn't kidding. I just said allegedly.
Actually, here's a guy I think gets moved that's going to shock, but not really. I think Zion. I think there's a good chance Zion gets moved.
That's not a shock, is it?
No, I don't think it's a shock, but...
But if Zion gets moved, then the Cavs should line up to go for Murphy and Herb Jones.
Herb Jones,
and anything and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this is probably when New Orleans hits the detonate button, right?
They should. They should have.
This apparently the Raptors are interested in Brandon Ingram, like legitimately, so...
Oop. Yeah, well, it actually isn't the worst fit for them.
Raptors.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I mean, they should, because they have nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I'm with you. There's guys I would like to peel the corpse of New Orleans.
Did you see the Drew Hanlon tweet, Eli?
No. What was that?
What did he say?
Hot Googling
like,
action.
Like, basically, it was about slop. Like, basically, he heard something. Like, something big coming down the pike tonight or before the deadline.
Oh. You heard it here, folks. First, folks, something big.
Something big.
That does describe Zion.
Capital.
And Luka. Did you see
that? That's right.
Did you see the hit piece they put out that his weight was up to like 270? Here's the underrated thing about the Luka trade is actually getting with him with LeBron just to get access to LeBron supplements guy is probably the most underreported part of this deal. Eli, were you going to say something?
No, I just think the Lakers, I actually don't like, I think the fit's going to be wonky for a little bit, personally. Maybe I'm in the minority. I do think the Mavs will be a little bit better for the rest of this season, but I just still don't understand why they did this trade. I just still can't believe it.
And it's not even that they did it, it's the way that they did it, and that this was the return they got. Like, did you hear the thing about, they said Luka's hurt all the time, and that's why we can't give you another draft pick.
Yeah, apparently the first offer that he brought up was better than the one he ended up accepting. Like, the Mavs brought up was worse than the one they accepted, or better than the one that they accepted.
It's just insane.
Like, he negotiated against himself. According to Kirk Goolsbury, or whatever that guy's name is, he said on his podcast that basically he doesn't know exactly what the offer was, but he was like, hey, man, I want to trade you Luka. It's, you know, because of this, this, and this. And then 2 weeks later, Pelinka called him back and was like, hey, you know, because you said it right, we just can't really meet your price. So this is what we're thinking. And then the deal still got done.
That's just nutty. Like, he's 5 years younger. That's the thing. Nobody gets how young Luka still is. Huh?
The 30 for 30 episode.
Oh, yeah.
On this trade.
Yeah, it's going to be stupid. Well, maybe more big things coming down the pike. I think it's going to be crazy. I hope the Cavs don't do anything too stupid other than try and grab a third big. I don't think they will do anything too crazy. We just got to find a way to not play George Niang so long. Cavs play Wednesday night.
Free Jalen Tyson.
Cavs play Wednesday night.
Tomorrow against the Pistons.
The Pistons. Yep, that's right. In Detroit. I expect them to have a bad taste in their mouth and take it out on the Pistons, who they always seem to game plan well for. So hopefully that continues. And Beef Stewart doesn't hurt anybody on the Cavs. That's the guy I would love the Cavs to get. They just need a goon. Anyway, anything to pitch, Eli?
Oh, man. Honestly, I want to pitch all of the Dallas barbecue scene.
Oh, were you recently in Dallas?
Yes, and I'm actually planning to go back again. So it's funny because that's actually
My favorite Korean restaurant is in Dallas.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We got a name?
I don't know the name. Wait.
It's so good.
Describe it though. It's crazy. let me describe it. Let me describe it real quick though. It's right off the highway, right off the beltway. In North Dallas, you know, it's like the Koreans have congregated like on this exit off right off this exit ramp off the beltway in Dallas. Like, it's like basically a Koreatown, essentially, just like a whole bunch of shops, businesses, restaurants, da da da. Anyway, like just down the road from it in like this shanty, like it's like a trailer, like is a Korean restaurant open till like 4 a.m. ran by a kid with his mom, and they seat you in there, and you are like, you eat by yourself. They have curtains that they drape around you after they seat you so that you eat in private. And like, basically the only person that you ever see is the lady that runs the place, or the dude, the kid, and they take your order, and you know, it takes forever, you know, but it's freaking amazing. The most authentic Korean, you know, the best kimchi, the best, you know, whatever, all of it. It's amazing. And they're open till like 4 a.m. And I was talking to the kid that run, you know, like helps his mom run it. And I'm like, I guess the place gets hopping. Like, it's an after hours bar spot. So, of Korean food. But it's like the most authentic, best kimchi that I've ever had at any Korean restaurant across this country.
Your mission is to get us the name of that restaurant, Chris.
I know. I just happened
now to come across it. Now you need to go look on Google Maps and find that restaurant.
I know. I'd be able to tell you if it, because I remember the location of it. It was like,
They have this thing called Google Maps and AI.
It was a dirt parking lot. It was a trailer. It was crazy. You know, like, I was kind
of
half scared. It was
just a mad fever dream of kimchi.
Yeah, exactly. It was, because I was moving across the country, too. At the time, I was moving from Phoenix to North Carolina at the time, driving across the country. So that's why I stopped at this place. And
are you like me? Names escape you, but you never forget a meal?
Oh, man. Oh, my God. That's so true. That is so true.
Yeah, I'm the same
way. Well, good for you, Eli. Yeah, yeah. I'll get you that name. I'll find this name. I'm on the search right now. Hot Googling action right now.
So, Chris,
I'll be honest. The Korean food in Dallas is very good, though. There's a very good
I know. You can't really go wrong, really. Yeah, right?
Yeah, I will say the Korean food growing up in Anchorage, Alaska was legit, too.
West Coast, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think the second largest ethnic group at my high school after Caucasian, high school was 38% Caucasian. I think the second biggest was Korean. I think it was like 15% Korean or something crazy. And then it was just like a total melting pot of everything
else.
Sounds
like Seattle or something.
Oh, it's exactly like that. Yeah. Yeah. So I had a lot of Korean friends growing up. So, and the tradition continues to this day. So Chris's pitch this week is unnamed fever dream Korean restaurant somewhere in North Dallas in a trailer in a dirt parking lot. I don't even know how I can top that. I'm trying my best right now to even think of something to pitch that even competes with that. But I guess I will pitch my my idle game that I've been playing on my phone. It is a game called Balatro. I don't know if you guys have heard of it, but it's like the indie game of last year. It's like a card game where you're basically just trying to make poker hands, and you get so many points for every poker hands. But what makes it fun is you get all these jokers that give you like different multipliers and stuff. And it's just a really good idle gamer, like when you're sitting waiting for a meeting to start or whatever, laying in bed, can't sleep. You can play it for 5 minutes. You can play it for an hour. So super fun. Bolatro. By the same guy who made Dave the Diver. And I think it won a bunch of indie games of the year last year. And it just came out for mobile in like November or something. So really good game. If you need to zone out and not pay attention to the world, which feels like something I need to do often these days. So. Anything else before we depart, gentlemen?
Nate, do you want the cast to make a move or no?
I would like them to make a move, but I don't want them to make the wrong move, if that makes sense. Like, I would rather stand pat than do something stupid, if that makes sense. Like, they desperately need another big. They need somebody who can rebound off the bench. They don't have that. I would actually love to see Kevin Love come back to Cleveland if they flip that salary back. But I'm not sure he's good enough to play all the time. So, But a player like that would be ideal to me. A guy that can play the either 3-4 or 4-5. So, and shoot, defend, rebound. That's all he's got to do.
Here's a quote coming out from the Cavs after the game today. Jared Allen, if you take away somebody in this locker room, it's going to disrupt it. I think we have enough to win every single night.
I think...
Interesting.
Well, wow. And I think that speaks to a little bit probably of what was going on tonight.
Tension because of the trade deadline.
How could there not be?
Yeah, of course.
Would you want to walk away from this situation? I think it would be heartbroken if I played for the Cavs. I know I'd be heartbroken if I played for the Cavs right now with what they got going on and I got traded away. Right? Wouldn't you be?
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah.
100%. If you're in this to play ball and love ball, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, they're a pleasure to watch every night. Even the losses that frustrate us, they're a different level than they were with the other really good Cavs teams. Like the
Cavs really had a bad loss. I mean, even the bad losses, they're losing the good team.
OKC was a bad loss.
But like, I mean, they're the second best team in the...
But it was just the way they showed up, didn't compete. It was...
Sure, that's fine. But I'm just saying, look at the opponent.
It was
They haven't had like that.
Maybe really one of those Atlanta games, but Atlanta played them really well. So
right.
I would say the Houston loss, the one where they had like
three free throws
and another possession. Yeah.
Houston's legit.
No, they are. Yeah. It was just a frustrating loss, but no, they haven't had a team where they just, you know, played like garbage against a bad team. Like,
right.
The like, Cavs on their winter wine
like I'm
trip.
I'm talking about like on the level of we lost against the hospital Warriors at home. Remember that?
Or like the Cavs did, the LeBron Cavs did like 2 years in a row against Memphis's like G League team.
There you go.
You know, right. The wine trip games. Yeah. No, they haven't. And they're a joy to play every night. They don't need the JYD to get them up for playing a game. I think there was a lot of tightness in the locker room tonight. I'm not going to take too much away from it. I think ultimately what I would love to see is a really good guy on a buyout or a free agent that shores up their issues and sends Georges Niang to the bench. So, I mean, I'm rooting for the guy to get fouls. Because that's all he did tonight. Anyway, Eli, what about you? Do you want them to make a move? Or do you want them to break up that locker room?
Man, I like the locker room, but I do think they have to make a move. I don't know. Part of me tells me that this team just doesn't have... It has enough talent, but it's not in the right places. That's still my opinion.
Yeah, I think they have a size problem.
Yeah. Your two best players can't be 6'1", unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they can be, but you've got to have a lot of other really good players, and I think they were one big short.
Yep.
And Dean Wade is not a guy you can rely on. So, but I do like Jared Allen getting his teams back like that. And going to bat for his guys. So
here's a crazy Dean Wade stat. The Cavs are, let me pull this up real quick. The Cavs are 30-5 with Dean Wade plays, but they are also 10-5 when he doesn't.
Yeah, that tracks.
So, like I said,
the season hinges on Dean Wade. Just as I suspected.
One of the best abilities is availability, and that's the one he sucks at the most. So,
yeah,
quite literally.
Yeah,
quite literally. But I don't care. I'm still taking victory laps.
There you go. And as always, go Cavs.
Go Cavs.
Go Cavs.
Thank you for listening to Cavs the Blogs podcast. Check back soon for some more fun with your favorite bloggers.